Rangers Rambles.
And we are live. Welcome back to the next episode of the Raiders Rambles. I am Jolt, chief host of the show, and joining me, wishingly that it was done under better circumstances, is my co-host Avira.
Hey guys, it's me, the candy corn doggo. Hope you're having an awesome night so far.
I wish this was done under your better circumstances though, but let's not get into that.
Yeah, well,
indeed.
Maybe I'll talk about that a little bit later, but I'm doing all right.
Absolutely. Yeah. We just got to roll with it. Next up.
Upsetting like spaghetti.
Since you've kind of just said so yourself, welcome back to the show, Gil.
Hello. How's everyone doing?
Doing great. To have you on again. Our next returning guest, Douglas.
Yep. Hi, nice to be on stream again. Sorry, I've been absent for so long.
Oh, it's all good. We tend to just go with it with what we can. And last of all, a guest that hasn't been here for the longest time, Abram Volkov.
Always saving the best for last, I see.
Hey. I mean, you started very well in the early days, had a midpoint, and then, I remember the track records quite well. So, yeah.
I'll fix that.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's us for this week. Now, let's begin. What happened last week then, hey, Avira?
Well, guys, I went to A&E, which is Anthro New England. It's a furry con in Boston. So I went last year, and last year was pretty cool. Actually, I got there a day early, and I was able to go to all the historical sites. I saw all the cemeteries of people who were buried, 400 years ago. I actually saw the grave of Samuel Adams. And yeah, that guy, Samuel Adams, the dude who made the beer. That dude, like he's
the legend himself.
There.
Yeah, wait, who?
My favorite.
Cool. Oh, it's so cool. But yeah, so this year, I went to Anthro New England, and interestingly enough, they had a 10% increase in membership.
Right. Let's pop up some statistics. Sorry if I may interrupt, but let's pop up some statistics. Considering,
this year we had 2,251 people.
Yep, 2,251 attendees. 600 first suitors.
Oh my goodness. I'm looking at this picture now and I see some of my friends in there.
And all in all, $22,500 donated to Massachusetts Vest the Dog. The constant charity day support for police dogs to get bulletproof vests and a lot of other things.
Yeah, that's right.
What they're doing is quite noble.
Exactly. Yeah. So Vest the Dog is basically it's a charity that that supports police dogs and gives them bulletproof vests. When they go on missions and stuff with police. And unfortunately, a lot of dogs are shot or injured, on the job. And so this charity provides them with some protection. And we were actually able to help them out. And that's pretty damn cool.
But because, there are some dumbass, that are gutless enough to point a gun at a dog.
It's a shame that there's always the odd criminal that'll do something quite extreme.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
you bet there is.
On the side note,
do you want to be bitten by a German Shepherd? I don't think I do. So if you're a criminal with a gun and a German Shepherd's running at you and it's going to tackle you to the ground, it's either you or the dog.
So yeah, but I would put the gun down and pet the dog.
But
there's also.
I mean, you're on the verge of being arrested, so if you're in that situation.
Yeah, well, might as well.
at least, you know, we were able to help out some of these, you know, brave dogs who were doing their job and saving lives. But yeah, so, I mean, Anthrocon was awesome. I arrived on Friday. Now, actually, it was my birthday con. So Anthrocon, I'm sorry, jeez, not Anthrocon.
Happy birthday to you. Sorry.
Happy birthday to you. Yeah, happy birthday to you.
When was your birthday?
My birthday was February 21st, which was the first day of Anthro New England.
Oh, that's nice. Happy birthday.
Yeah, thanks, man. It was pretty cool. So I arrived there a little bit late, like on Friday night. And so unfortunately, I did miss the opening ceremonies, which is something I really like going to at any convention. But, you know, just logistics and ride situation, you know, we couldn't make it. But that's okay.
So anyway, so, can I just want to say the three A's in this title episode, AAA, A&E, stand for the three of you who were at the con.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, there were a bunch of furry raiders there. Yeah, it
A
was me.
Stands for Artyom, Avira, and Ash.
Absolutely.
I wish I could have gone and just to, you know, hang out with you guys.
Behold.
Oh yeah. Oh,
that's such a nice bit.
Yeah, awesome. And dude, how awesome is his fursuit? Like, that's
Nick
that's
Wild, literally.
Yeah.
Nick, I mean, thick Nick Wild. I mean, Nick's looking
Boy.
A little thick.
Ugh, I look like such a small doggo. Oh my goodness. I'm tiny. I know.
It's pretty adorable.
It's amazing, too. Like, they...
Tiny pupper.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, a bunch of raiders went to this convention, too. And, yeah, I got to meet them, which
Indeed,
was awesome.
Yes. If only for a dingo day.
It's
May
sort
I...
of...
I'm going to do this.
Technically, though, so. My area, though, too, so it would have been nice.
Yes,
oh,
way
yeah.
up over in Boston, Massachusetts.
Way
and
out of range for me to get to.
This is our guy.
Oh yeah, there's Ash. This is
he looks happy.
Yeah, well, you know, there's another guy.
Being hugged by a doggo, who wouldn't be happy?
Well, he was only there for one day. You know, he only had, like, the day pass. But that was fine. You know, we hung out, and it was a pretty cool time.
I do so love how you both look extra orange.
Oh, yeah. I know. I love that. I saw his jacket, and I'm like, you're orange, too. Hooray.
Not to mention that Artyom's suit, too. Like, you should honestly be our Orange Brigade.
Orange Brigade.
Yeah, right? Orange doggo bad.
Oh my god.
But yeah, I mean, it was a super fun time. And so after that, I ended up I met Crusader Cat. We ended up hanging out for a couple days at the con, and he's a pretty cool dude. Unfortunately, something weird happened where somebody on Twitter, you know, posted some like bullshit thing. They're like, oh, did you guys know that Crusader Cat is going to be there? He's a Nazi. He's a white supremacist. You know, all that, you know.
I heard about all of that.
Oh, dude. It gets better. So he's like a friend of mine. So him and I were hanging out at the convention. You know, we took like pictures and stuff. And then just the other day, I tweeted to the person who made that threat against Crusader Cat. So I showed him a picture of me and him together, and then he blocked me. Like, a few minutes later. Literally a few minutes later.
Jumping to conclusions again, right?
I was like,
yeah,
oh, well,
I mean...
Okay.
I mean,
my God.
It seems
goodness.
It was too hard.
Gentlemen, speaking of the Crusader Cat bullshit, somebody did actually decide, you know, to go on, you know, be a Twitter badass and do this and this.
Yeah, that's the guy I'm talking about. Yeah.
There was somebody who actually decided to, you know, to make a, you know, to go on Twitter, blah, 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 talk, get Crusader Cat banned. But lucky for us, we have a con panel that doesn't really give a, doesn't give a shit.
Well, I don't. Nah, he's a cool dude.
What's it like actually going to a convention?
Oh man, it's freaking cool. I mean, like, yeah, there's all kinds of stuff to do. There's dances, there's panels.
I mean, I've only ever been to an actual like convention once in my life, and it wasn't even for furry stuff.
It's an amazing experience though. But no, may I just appreciate
old friend
this?
Of mine,
sorry,
who you know, I don't really talk to anymore, sort of.
Yeah. Might I just
quickly to an anime convention one time.
Oh my goodness, sorry, can't do that anymore. NSFW alert.
Oh, I thought you were gonna screen share the picture.
Okay, no, what that's happened? Some monetization gone. I was screen sharing a picture that was a thinger, and then I just saw nope.
It's NSFW.
I didn't even see it.
Okay. Well, anyway, so after that, Crusader and I hung out, like, him and I were in the Headless Lounge, and then after that, I went right to the Fursuit Recess, which is kind of like the Fursuit Games.
I saw the video of it, though.
Oh, yeah. So there were two teams, and of course, my team won, because, yeah, we did. Yeah, green team! But, so basically, it was like Steal the Bacon. There was not musical chairs this time. I'm pretty sure that was the first game.
Musical chairs in Fursuits is amazingly hilarious and fun.
My goodness. It's so hectic. It's so hectic.
You just have to be in the middle of it to
I know.
Stand.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, I did that for Apocalypse. But no, this time at the recess, we had Steal the Bacon. We had Boop the Snoot, which is basically like where you have team members who are blindfolded, mm-hmm, and you have to try to guide them to boop the other person. Oh my god, my phone is ringing. But yeah,
turn phones off during the movie.
Or end the stream, and so on and so on.
There's that. And then the third game was like, it was some weird, like, like we had pool noodles and we had to try to slap some balls like through the like goalposts.
What?
That sounds pretty gay.
Yeah.
Slapping balls. Slapping balls.
I don't know.
It would be made.
I'm more trying to think of the physics of that. How can you get a ball into a goal with what I imagine is something like spaghetti?
Well, basically, goalposts was two chairs on each side of the stage.
What are these, like, pool noodles?
Yeah, everybody
was... Okay, then that makes sense.
Yeah, it was crazy. Like we all had noodles, and, you know...
I mean, I guess that would make it harder.
It makes it more... The hilarity of it is what makes the fursuit games just the way they are.
Yeah,
but right, awkward, it's so and it's derpy. Just it's 10 times more for the entertainment value and for everyone.
Yeah, it's hilarious. Like we're all just like, running around like with these freaking noodles and trying to slap some like
that does sound sort of fun. Shit.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Man.
And that's not pretty gay too.
It was so great.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I didn't have any problems honestly. Like at this convention. I thought maybe something might happen, you know, considering that there were some tweets earlier, you know, about the Raiders or Crusader Cat or whatever. You know, there was some contention.
But nothing at all, though. And it's just nothing, as you already know, it's just Twitter hot air and so, and they just kind of... Lots of security.
Because, you know... Because people are over there just have fun, you know, not for this political bullshit. We go, you know, to these places to be free from all the politics, but hey, some people just want to see other people's lives ruined, right?
But hey,
exactly.
Let's take the good stuff now. The group pick for A&E 2019.
Oh, yeah!
Where is Ivira?
Where is Ivira? Where is Archon?
Who's that wearing the box?
Looks like Foxworth.
I'm like way in the upper right corner. I'm like by the red guy. You can probably see me.
No, not really.
Yeah.
It's hard to I can't even tell where you and he are. It's just
can't see very well.
I mean, you just look for orange. That's when Henry.
Yeah, I wish I got a higher resolution picture though, but as it stands, this is
yeah, sorry. Thing.
Where's Waldo?
Where's Waldo? If you're a virgin.
I arrived a little bit late to this picture, so I was kind of like in
the back. I think I see you. I caught you right at the last moment. I saw you in the upper right.
Yeah, well, like, if you look around me, there's nobody else who's, like, as vibrant as my fursuit is. So
honestly, though, maybe we need to put every one of us in a Waldo shirt.
That's a weird idea.
Clay easy. IRL, where is Waldo?
Easy to spot, easy to kick.
Oh my goodness. But so that was my A&E experience.
Indeed, it's a blast.
Sounds sort of fun, you know?
Yeah. I don't do
well in large crowds, though.
I mean, this is, remember, they said the attendance figures were 2,261. This would make it like a medium-ish large convention by all accounts.
That's a lot of people, but
It's not the biggest one, but A&E has historically been, it had a good start, like 700, and then it's grown and grown and grown.
I mean, it felt small when I was there, but when I went into the picture area, I was like, wow, there's way more fursuiters than last year. And there were. There was at least 600.
They did say 600.
The only way I could ever end up at a FurCon is if I had a friend to go with me.
One day we'll arrange someone in New Jersey, you know, in wherever you are. We'll take you there. And we'll give you a drive. We'll figure something out.
What? Are you being serious?
We'll figure something. Don't worry. We've got plans. We'll figure things out.
I'm probably gonna be wherever the hell you're gonna be.
Mm.
If it's in the northeast area, I'm probably gonna be there.
New England states is generally
best
around here.
Yeah, there's a lot of cons there, and I go to all of them.
Mm-hmm. So, just as a thing to close up on this, Avira. Yeah. Overall, you were grandly satisfied with the experience. Our guys were too. Definitely recommend Anfro New England as a convention going forward?
I absolutely would. And, you know, it's really cool because, like, even the security and staff and stuff, like, after this whole thing dropped about Crusader Cat and, you know, the staff was alerted about this white supremacist, Nazi, you know, bullshit, whatever. The staff was actually cool with him, and they didn't care, and I was like, awesome.
They could tell it was just people throwing labels at him.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, they were like, wow, so this is some SJW bullshit. Like, we don't want to deal with this. And they were totally cool. But aside from the security, the entire con itself, is run very well. And I would say, honestly, this year was a lot better than last year. Because last year, this was the first year in this hotel, and the staff wasn't really sure how to, deal with furries, and they were kind of there was, a lot of complaints about how the staff was treating us, but this year, everything was totally fine. And,
so it's a first-time experience.
Yeah.
So that year was a first-time experience, and now they're more experienced, per se. They are more enlightened.
And for New England, one had a span of has a couple of years under its belt. So,
absolutely. I definitely recommend going to this con. It's like you said, Jolta. It's a medium sized con.
And it's not too big. It's not too small. That's what it is.
Yeah, it's really great. I had a lot of fun.
Yeah, so let's kind of close this up with a couple of live comments. A Wild Fox Appears asks, will the Raiders be coming up to GLFC? Great Lakes FurCon is in Michigan, and we do have a couple of Michigan people who do frequent Michigan in our group. We'll let you know if something comes, if there's something in the works for it. So stay tuned. We'll get in touch.
Okay.
A couple of things.
Asks,
slap balls with noodles. That's what she said.
That's exactly what we did. We slapped them balls with the noodles.
Damn, Avira, that's pretty gay.
Pretty gay.
Let's not continue that with that. So, all right. The next item we have on our list is a big story that's been kind of making the rounds in anticipation of what's coming up next year. The Olympics has been the next.
Oh, Lord.
Yes. And, you know, just to set things off first, I am going to reveal to you. Let's get the good part out, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. The potential and official mascots for the Olympics in Tokyo 2020.
I only imagine all the fur yards going to be drawn of every one of those.
You know,
they're not bad designs though. Like that's
I mean
cool.
the two in the middle and the right, were being passed around as potential ideas. At the end of the day though, the primary school children in Japan, that's what they said. They did bring it down to a vote, and it is the one on the left and the right, the blue one and the pink one that you see here.
That one.
Yes, the winners.
They look like Pokemon.
Well, Japan's, you know, known for that kind of art style.
Very much so.
So, bingo.
I mean,
oh my goodness. They have it. You're right. They do look like Pokemon. Wow. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, Mr. Obvious.
Wow.
The two on the right should have won.
I mean, yeah. A Tanuki and, well, you know, Kitsune would honestly be every furry's pick of the mascot.
I sort of like the two left ones and the two middle ones.
I like them all, to be honest.
They're all really nice designs, but it seems like the two on the left were, you know, designed with each other in matching. The two in the middle were designed to match each other's art style, and the two on the right were designed for each other's art style. So it was sort of like they were only meant to be in those pairings.
Hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I first thought of when I saw this? I was thinking of the Japanese styled fursuits, and that these.
Yeah, Japan designs really takes it to the next level when it comes to stuff like that.
Well, I was thinking like these designs actually looked like chibi characters of those fursuits, you know?
There are the mascot costumes already out and about. Yeah, and they've got names, too.
Japan.
Oh, they do?
Furries in Japan, like, seem to make the best when it comes to art and fursuits.
They do.
Oh, yeah.
Here it is, though. To celebrate their first anniversary, 2020 Olympic mascots Mirai Towa and Someiti played badminton at Tokyo School.
Oh, they came out pretty good.
Yeah. As they're
oof. They're...
I like how they have a sort of like checkerboard pattern, sort of like you know, the makes you think of you know, what game has a checkerboard flag? What am I thinking of?
Chess?
Windows?
No, not chess.
Windows.
I'm talking about
I know
that there is a checkerboard looking kind of flag in some sport.
Probably not that.
They just look like some kind of generic, like Toonami or Cartoon Network mascot. I don't like it.
Yeah,
honestly, not bad though.
It's not bad. I just don't like it.
You know, I mean, it's,
race cars.
NASCAR. I'm not really sure what they were going for with the designs there.
They do have an intention, but ultimately, at the end of the day, this is what the kids voted for. This is what they chose, and you know what? They roll with it. And
kids these days,
I don't know if you guys.
It is what it is, isn't it?
What they wanted. What's wrong with that?
I don't know if you guys remember. A few weeks ago, we talked about the Belarusian mascot.
Yes, I remember that one for the
Belarusian
game. That guy looked like a legit fursuiter.
Lessig.
Like, legit. Yeah, Lessig.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you know, there's Zabivaka, obviously. I don't think these guys from Japan are really going to carry as much weight as Zabivaka.
In celebratory appeal, no. If they chose a Kitsune or a Tanuki, that they would have won all the furries' hearts.
Russia knows what the furries want.
Oh, no.
No. And because of that, though, we're literally subject to being hit by McNukes from Russia.
Cold War treaty ending just recently, mysteriously.
You know what, though? Just to kind of tack this on as well, the next big, the big news regarding the Olympics is the kind of sport that they've decided to choose to put in. Believe it or not, they actually are trying to push for things like breakdancing.
Oh, why?
And skateboarding,
I mean, and a dance competition, but why specifically?
I wonder why. They said like something, they were going to push this in Paris to like something, something urban appeal.
How of course it is. Of course it is. To appeal to certain groups that they want more votes from.
It's not a sport, though.
Can they broaden that category into like fursuit dancing, too?
Yeah. Well,
that's basically subsidized.
More just really disappointing.
You know what? On that same topic of fursuit dancing, let's basically have government. No, that's not. Government sanctioned fursuits for the Olympics. Let's just see. Like, every country's going to bring their own damn stereotype with them to the floor.
Yeah.
Every country
should
have their own animal mascot.
Freaking zombie fuckers. Like,
be like fucking football mascots for countries.
I know.
Right? You know how bad that would get.
Yes, like they said, you know, they pick these sports. They pick the sports, climbing, surfing, and skateboarding to make them more urban, more artistic.
Seriously? Yeah, skateboarding.
They could have just done a dance competition, honestly, and then it would have been nice. Because then they could have had a whole bunch of different dances. But no, they had to specifically pick that.
They could have chosen,
to appeal to, you know, people who they want the government to, they want to support the government.
In other words, the Olympics is dying and they're trying to appeal to people with crap.
Taste more like. I mean, it's bad enough that
starting to show the signs in some ways.
Yeah. Look, it's bad enough that squash basically missed out as a sport.
But
yeah, like I said, squash misses out, and then this is like, dude, I would rather have had squash on the events program compared to these three.
Who?
I mean, I would have rather had the sport of squash on the program, but
you know, I always. To a lot of these names, what does that say about me? That I don't know most popular people.
Yeah, I don't know what squash is. I know it's a sport, not a person.
Wait, this is a sport?
Yeah, it's a sport.
Yeah.
Okay, what is this sport?
I think it has like a basket and a ball, and you throw it.
It's like squash basketball. Is more like, I think it was a racket sport, if I remember correctly.
Racketball?
Like,
well, breakdancing is not a sport.
Yeah, and they had the audacity to call it a dance sport. Quote,
oh my god!
Unquote.
No, stop that! No, it's not. That and skateboarding for an Olympic sport? Like, are you kidding me?
It would make sense if they had done the generic as like turn dancing into a type of sport, and then have all the different world dances. Because then, you know, the Olympics are supposed to be the World Games. So that's why not take a generic category and then make it so that all the countries can then compete instead of it being something like that?
No, that's ridiculous. That's just dumb.
Like, if they wanted to have a singing competition in the Olympics, which I don't know why they would do that, they could have, like, opera singers and a whole bunch of other different kinds of singers from different countries. And, you know,
they would
make more sense if it was generic like that.
But does skateboarding make sense? Like,
no, it really doesn't.
Sport? Like, no, it doesn't. Like,
but then again, would surfing make sense?
Not really, no.
I don't know. I mean, I don't.
It depends on where you are.
It just doesn't seem right. Like, I don't know. It's just weird.
It's like breakdancing,
like
and you know what though?
Actually, come to think of it, there is the Winter Olympics, So why don't they make a split-off Olympics for these other categories?
Like, that's more like for something like the X Games.
That would make more sense than to add it into the main Olympics.
Yeah, leave it to the X Games to be specialists in things like skateboarding, surfing, and so forth.
Yeah.
Why do this?
That would be cool. I'd watch that.
Yeah.
Someone says that squash is basically tennis with yourself.
Eh.
Oh, it's sort of like... Oh, it's like you play tennis and you're playing against the wall.
I don't know. I've never seen it played.
Play tennis, but you're bouncing the tennis ball off the wall, and then you have to keep hitting it. Right?
All I know is that I've basically, gotten this off from friends in my... from what it is, but yeah.
Well, isn't still, that just racquetball?
Yeah, you could say that.
Yeah.
Sounds like racquetball with more steps.
Racquetball with more steps.
So guys, you know what also has been a bit grindy on everyone's gears? The inclusion of transgender people in events like these in the Olympics.
No, what?
Yeah.
Olympics that's... without transgender athletes to compete with women without having gender reassignment surgery.
Well, and if we have reassignment surgery, that doesn't change that they still have the body of what they used to be.
Yeah, wasn't there an article recently about a gal that was beaten a race by a transgender person and they're like questioning the results because they're pre-op?
It's not so much a gal, it's actually like a feminist who said that she, she's part of the LGBT whatever the hell community.
The alphabet soup.
Like, well, I don't, support, transgender people being involved in sports because it's an unfair advantage based on the hormones. And she's not necessarily wrong either.
I mean, people get banned from sports for taking steroids, and so that's technically
doping.
Well, that's what they're doing. That's exactly what they're doing.
Steroids are artificial testosterone.
Yeah, well, let's say if a woman wants to become a man and takes testosterone to become stronger, and she enters in a competition against other women, that's
an unfair advantage.
That's doping. That's
banned,
illegal.
Honestly.
Yeah.
Or if they're going to have a problem about that, why don't they just have a separate division for people who have chemically messed with their bodies?
Well, that would
true.
Be or
oh, that's literally like, it costs too much. It costs
too
much
because they can't afford.
Like I said, where's the practicality line?
Yeah. Let's just say it costs too much, and they say they can't afford an extra set of medals for these special people.
Pretty much. It's really just like about the whole transgender acceptance type of thing. Here's the thing. Freaking Caitlyn Jenner, formerly known as Bruce Jenner, was named Woman of the Year. And this person took that spot away from an actual woman. Now, is that okay? I don't know.
Oof.
Yeah, I don't know.
Also, I'm like laughing a little comment over here saying, males make better woman. Patriarchy wins again.
Well, yeah.
Oh, no.
In that case. Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, exactly. He knocked it out of the park. Yeah, he was the best woman. Like what more do you want?
Oh, now, my God.
But this happens like in these competitions, between like, like let's say if you're a male to female transgender and you have, the physical strength of a male. Now, of course, biologically, males and females are different based on the hormones and all that.
There's differences in the actual body physiology as well.
Yeah.
It's not just
exactly, yeah. So
it's not just the reproductive organs that are different.
But at the end of the day,
so there's an advantage, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's
what
it just a lot of
boils
people are
down
upset about.
To, and it essentially it's just the end of women's sports as we know it. Because alas,
before they actually had a chance because they were actually competing against people with fair odds, and now they don't.
No. No, because, apparently gender is fluid now, so you can identify as whatever, anything goes, right?
It's not the world we live in.
Yeah. But I think let's just kind of wrap this one up, though, saying A couple of good comments, though. Karen Hopper says, the mascots look like chibis in Pokemon.
They do! They do.
Yeah. Now, I'm not sure if we're going to look forward to the furries getting their hands on it. So far, I found nothing about this. So far. But that will maybe soon change.
Yeah, we got there first.
Mm-hmm.
And in that sense, too, yeah. So we'll move on to the next item on the list, which is the controversy surrounding Captain Marvel.
Oh, boy.
Did the movie bomb and then the comment section? I haven't checked.
It's not even out yet. No, that's the thing. It's not even out.
It's not even out yet?
And they think that a review bombing campaign exists when there was none to begin with.
But Rotten Tomatoes has completely messed this whole situation up. I'm not sure if you guys know about this, but like, okay, on Rotten Tomatoes, there's a want to see percentage, right? So like when you go there, you can click on it and...
a lot of people were saying they didn't want to see it and then they disabled that?
Exactly. They disabled it because they had such a low rating and Disney was concerned that this movie was going to bomb.
And so they did damage control.
They did.
Which just made the image worse. Yep.
Exactly.
When you interfere, it makes it worse.
Well, that's what happened.
But you know what, though? And because of it, they did kind of cover their ass. But you know what? Here's the best part about this, though. They had recently, what's it called? Captain Marvel and Disney have decided to try and trick the people into being able to, you know, to making sure that the only tickets for movies they can buy are Captain Marvel and the other Disney movie. Let's have a look at this.
Wait, what?
Exhibit A. I am on Fandango.com. Let's just say we're going to go to a movie in Fort Collins because reasons. And on March the 7th or any other day, that's any day that, you know, Captain Marvel not out yet. You can see Lyric Theater. Here's all these movies you can watch. The Killing, Green Book, Bathtubs Over Broadway, AMC Classic, Worthington 6. They Shall Not Grow Old, The Kid Who Will Be King, all that stuff. Now,
day that it's going to release, no other
March
movies.
March the 8th. Watch this. Click. Refresh. The Lyric
Let me hold your beer then.
Fear and Desire. I don't know what. Cinemas, guys, Movie, Bistro, and XD. Captain Marvel. And that was the only listing on Fandango.
Just so you know, Fandango is the company that owns Rotten Tomatoes, and the president of Fandango used to work for Disney.
Oh, no.
That makes a lot of sense.
I didn't know that Fandango was owned by the same company. Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. Well, Fandango owns Rotten Tomatoes, and the president of Fandango...
Talk about owning the review site for the movies that you're advertising.
Yeah, there Cinemark you go. Fort Collins.
That's a horizontal. Doesn't that fall under it's not antitrust. What is it?
Anti-consumer, anti-competitive practices.
I don't know.
Yes, that falls under anti-competitive practices. But is it really going to be taken care of by the law? Probably not.
No.
Who knows? I mean, the president of Fandango used to work for Disney. So
you know what's funny?
Doesn't that fall under antitrust?
It probably does. I mean,
Do you know what I find funny about all this? This is some EA movie industry bullshit, if you know what I mean.
It's gonna be like Gamergate, isn't it?
We're gonna need a movie gate.
Oh no!
Exactly.
Oh, and I'm not sure if you.
When does it end?
Either about the actress Brie who's playing Captain Marvel. She made a statement a couple of years ago, defaming white people. She's like, "Oh, well, cis white people, this movie is not targeted for you." So basically, she's a racist.
You're just digging your own hole. I mean, I remember back in the day, when we had the cartoons for all these things. I used to love all these characters, and now when they're making these movie remakes, it just doesn't feel like the characters anymore.
Isn't she white, though?
Where did we go wrong?
Yes, where have we gone so wrong? But she's a woman.
Captain Marvel was a really cool character.
I mean, I thought Marvel was better than this, you know, that, and they really haven't stooped down to that level of the SJW infiltration, but it seems like with this movie they are, and that's probably why Captain Marvel is not doing so good, even before it's even out right now. You know, people are not
because people are expecting it to be the same pattern. People see the patterns now.
Nah, dude, like, I don't want to go to a movie and, you know, be, you know, like, force-fed fucking politics. Like, that's
it
not what I want.
It doesn't help that freaking, it's the only, yeah, it's the only ticket you
can whatever happened to just talking about morals instead of politics? Why is it, instead of actually talking, having the superheroes actually display good morals and things like that? No, it's gone political now, and now you can't escape to escape or it's not even escape. It's you can't have an icon that can represent the things you believe in anymore.
Oh, and
God without forbid, that icon being corrupted.
Yeah, well,
by modern politics.
If you say something bad about this movie, that means you're automatically a sexist.
Exactly. It doesn't help either that Brie Larson also decided to make this, you know, a woman's experience, like saying that this is in Captain Marvel is a feminist movie.
Oh my god.
Just because it has a female character doesn't mean it can't be for all audiences.
Men aren't allowed, women only.
Oh man, so I guess best refund all that all the Tomb Raider games I got, because you know everyone. The main character is a woman. Oh my god.
What happened to rating like for everyone?
Jesus Christ.
I know. Like, it doesn't help, you know. This Captain Marvel's Brie Larson 2019 is about intersectional feminism.
I just cannot wait until this movie actually comes out and it totally freaking bombs, because it's going to. Like we know
it
is.
What's the four words that I'm looking for?
Intersectional
you,
feminism.
Stupid feminists?
No. Get.
No.
Whoa.
What?
Go. Broke.
Oh yeah.
Oh
yeah.
No.
Well, yeah. Exactly.
Oh my god.
Just wait till Rotten Egg says you can't review this movie unless you bought tickets through our site. That'll cut down on bad reviews.
Yeah. Like you must buy a thing from. I mean, you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if Disney and so forth tried to muscle in on movie theaters and say that nope, there's no other movies except for Captain Marvel on the listings.
Oh, and guys, the best part, this movie is being released on International Women's Day.
Oh.
Wow.
You can't force feed us anymore, can you?
Like, really?
The narcissism.
Is this... What is this world we live in right now?
It is, though. Like, what the heck?
International Movies Day. This is literally going to crash down everything that is sacred day. Ever was
International Women's Day.
Oh,
International Women's Day.
Yeah, the women's gotta respect the women's.
The women's, yeah, the so, thoughts.
I digress, though. But
that's
honesty,
being released, and it's like this shouldn't be a feminist movie. Yeah, I mean, like, okay, so
like
Wonder
I said,
Woman was
what
awesome,
happened to rated E for everyone?
It
what happened to
people.
Movies that are for all viewers?
I know.
That's what I'm saying. Like, Wonder Woman was like that. You know, yeah, it had
a Wonder Woman was a cool movie, wasn't it?
That was
I actually don't watch movies that often anymore.
When can we get the new Shrek movie?
I mean, I'm just saying, like, you know, there's ways to go about this properly. Like, Wonder Woman, which was really cool. But this movie, they're really pushing the agenda a little bit too far. And I think it's going to lose them a lot of money.
When you can see it coming, you know. You can predict ahead of time before it happens, and then be right. Then there's a problem.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Either way, it's. Yeah, at this stage, you might as well basically write off all the big movie producers and say, you know, MovieGate when.
Well, what happened to indie movie developers too? You know.
Yeah.
Well, thankfully, there are still some of those around. But, you know, when it comes to, like, big-time Hollywood and Disney and stuff,
yeah,
it seems like this kind of ideology has infiltrated the industry, and
it's always been that way, but, hey. Anyway, well, let's just say we're gonna see what's gonna be on the line on that day, and we're gonna be, you know, maybe and seeing if we're actually forbidden from reviewing that movie.
Well, I just want
to. I think I already know that. I think I already know the answer to that.
Centralism. Centralization of content leads to policing of content.
Yeah.
I mean, I won't be watching it. I don't watch a lot of hero movies. They're going way downhill anyway.
I think the superhero shtick has basically been milked to who knows how much, and there's clearly bankruptcy all over.
Yeah. True.
Yeah.
Because superheroes are just fighting instead of actually trying to keep the peace. Remember in the old, like, have you ever, like, taken a look at some of the old comics through, like, archive stuff and how the heroes, instead of, you know, fighting each other or fighting the big bad guy or getting in these awesome fights, instead of getting in all, like, the big fights, and it was all violence and all this crazy stuff and explosions and destructions, like...
Sound like Dragon Ball Z.
There used to be movie and, you know, comics and cartoons about the heroes getting into, like, basically United Nations equivalent of heroes, and then they would protect the planet, and then they would also pay for their damage. They would always avoid damaging things intentionally. And now the heroes just don't care.
Didn't Incredibles 2 tackle that topic?
I did not see Incredibles
2. They had something, but that was all because drowned out with family issues.
Mm-hmm. Incredibles 2. I recommend you go after it.
Example of the thing that I'm trying to express here. Have you ever watched a movie called The Watchmen? And the main quote of that movie is, "Who watches the Watchmen?"
Oh yeah. It's got the Mr. Manhattan or something like that. The big blue guy.
It comments on this entire thing. It comments on this situation on. The superheroes were unchecked. Yeah. And so one of the super... I shouldn't actually say it because I don't want to, you know, spoil the movie.
Oh, it's an old movie, though.
Well, all right, fine. So one of the heroes betrays the other heroes and actually becomes a supervillain and steals Mr. Manhattan's power and uses it to emit some sort of tachyon field or whatever so that Mr. Manhattan can't predict the future. And then finds out that his new reactor that was based off of his power was instead going to be used as a bomb and take out some global cities and make it look like Mr. Manhattan did it. And the supervillain's plan was to make it so that Mr. Manhattan would be the fall guy, so that humans would take care of themselves instead of relying on the heroes. And so they disbanded.
Well, that sounds like a much better plot.
And then Rorschach got shafted in that movie.
Well,
I was so disappointed.
Than Captain Marvel.
As much as we'd love for this to be a movie collection, you know, recollection day. And not
we're off topic. Yeah. But that covers the exact point. And it's showing exactly why superhero movies are burning out. Is that instead of the superheroes representing morals and representing people who, even though they have powers, have earned their powers by using them to do good and by using them to be ethical with the power that they have, instead of teaching the ethics of even if you have power and wealth, it's instead having action and fight scenes and mass destruction and stop the supervillain at any cost.
Well, I wouldn't necessarily apply that to the X-Men, but
yeah,
okay.
It's
but that's where it's going. That's where the pattern's going.
Mm-hmm. It's like, and I think they honestly can go to simpler stories as well. Like instead of
superheroes who just go out of their way to kill to stop the villain.
Yeah.
When the villain is supposed to be not just a villain to defeat, but the villain had a reason why he became a villain.
Exactly. True, and true. You know what? That gets back to the main point of this whole idea of, you know, Captain Marvel. Now, the thing is, there was an article that says Captain Marvel was stronger than Thanos. Now, Thanos has the gauntlet of all the Infinity Stones and everything, but the article said that she was stronger than him, and that's why they recruited her to fight him.
Wait a minute. I can't remember. Is Captain Marvel the one... Oh, man, I'm not brushed up on my comics enough anymore, but I feel like I watched a video recently to try and brush up on my comic.
I mean, like, she is a very history strong
and
yeah.
how that comic universe works.
Yeah,
I can't remember.
She absolutely is a very strong character, like, for sure. Like, in the Marvel universe, yes, she is very powerful.
I forget. What is Captain Marvel's power?
Good question. I wish I
knew. Does she have the Phoenix Force, like, or is that something else?
She has, like, super strength, you know, she can fly.
She's just basically Superman.
Superwoman.
But not immortal.
She's kind of like Superwoman, or like Wonder Woman, but like 10 times stronger. Like she is a very powerful character. Like, don't get me wrong, she really is. Right. The thing is, the problem is, the character who she's being played by right now, this actress, she has no energy. She has no nothing except for her crazy ideology, and that's turning a lot of people off.
She was criticized for, you know, just to make this last comment, for basically having a blank expression
in
the trailer video.
A blank expression.
She used up all her energy pushing that Jeep.
Well, trying to make that face more Ava. And then, well, it's tragic, but at the end of the day, well, I just say we can leave them to it.
Yeah,
and let the review, let the people just, you know, talk about it.
Oh, wait. Oh, wasn't there a fourth topic? Or did we already
cover that? There is. There is. There is. The last topic we are going to cover is the current YouTube adpocalypse.
Version 3.0.
Predictably, yes.
Yeah, like the 20th one.
Oh, boy.
This time it was over pedophilia rings, wasn't it?
Yes,
a lot of child-related advertisers pulled from YouTube altogether.
Exactly, like AT&T.
At this point, it's probably not going to do that much damage anyway, since most actual YouTubers who care about staying on the platform have moved to alternative payment methods.
Oh wait, wasn't it like a Matt Watson guy again?
Yep.
Now what we're seeing, who's pulled out so far? AT&T. Hasbro, Nestle, Epic Games, Disney, and it's literally, you gotta realize too.
Why couldn't Verizon pull out?
Well, this is the best time to advertise for PeerTube and BitChute and all these other ones that work just as well but actually need the users.
Indeed.
The main reason why they haven't been used is, you know, people are still thinking YouTube is the best shit, but it's really not. It's you can see the rot.
It's
coming.
It's literally going down the drain. And
the best thing you could do right now is archive as much stuff as you can from YouTube. Save it as video files if you have to. Re-upload it on whatever platforms you want. You know, even if you have to give citations to the original authors, because there are works of art on YouTube. There are videos, documentaries, you name it. It's all on there if you search it. And for YouTube to, you know, just start randomly deleting channels, it means that YouTube history is going to vanish if it's not saved.
Right. Because we know we care here, you know, about archival too, which is why, you know, internet is a lot more than just for archival purposes.
Centralization was a mistake.
Right, yes. But at the same time, though, YouTube's been under the pump a lot because they have also taken to disabling comment section in videos where children are featured.
Children of under 18 years of age featured in the videos will have their comment section disabled. Is that what it says?
Yeah,
that's an attempt to curb sexual predators on the platform, even.
Yeah.
Well, I mean that, but I mean the unfortunate part that's only one of many problems.
A scalpel method when they could have, you know, just had a bot check the comments for the illicit comments.
But no. But instead, but
no, they had to disable the comment section altogether because a sledgehammer works better.
Yeah, disabling the comments doesn't fix it. I mean, ban the people who are making the lewd comments.
You know, that brings us up to another point too, is that if you if you basically do this and this too, like YouTube has also said,
point where people are being financially hurt. Yes. For the people who they unintentionally are associated with. Which means that you can be tried, well, not really tried, but you can have horrible, bad things happen to you because of your neighbor.
Well, now I have to ask you a question, though. Who do you think is being hurt by this? Do you think it's the SJWs, or do you think it's conservatives?
I think everyone.
The families of these family-friendly YouTube channels, or just... it's the people who originally made these videos on YouTube who had their videos monetized and were having harmless content on YouTube that are having their content be abused by people taking advantage of bad frames.
I mean, as one of my best...
political jab, honestly.
Yeah, but as we'll see, as one of my favorite YouTubers put out, you know, that it would be like Review Tech USA. Innocent videos with sinister people leaving sinister comments with sinister intentions. Mm-hmm. That's what Review Thick USA. Yes. I mean, Review Tech USA.
That kind of just describes a predicament too. Not to mention as well, like what the other thing that YouTube wanted to do was demonetize videos because of comments.
That's what I was talking about, is that people are getting punished for what their neighbors did. I was making a metaphor of that, and that's what I was trying to explain what you just said.
And not to mention, too, with how YouTube is working on this, there is literally a lot of loopholes you can exploit because of it. And
their own algorithm created a click hole where the content was being recommended to people for their patterns of actions.
People were abusing
that algorithm to collect content for bad purposes.
Yeah, but like if you make a comment on somebody's video and their video is demonetized because of someone else's act. That is hurting
the person who made the video when they did not post that video for that malicious intent.
Yeah, they had no control over that. I mean, like, who's to say? Like, any troll could go to any video, make some, you know, bullshit comment and say something offensive or whatever.
And it could get someone demonetized for someone's saying something bad in the comment section.
Exactly.
That's what it's leading to.
Mm-hmm. And that's what YouTube thinks is okay right now?
It's literally insanity.
Yeah, totally.
And what is the definition of insanity? Do we all know that one?
Yes, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results.
I mean, that's
doing
kind
the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. Yeah. And a lot of these corporations nowadays think that their same patterns of dealing with these unexpected issues of, you know, just doing a sledgehammer fix or fixing the wrong thing instead of actually going to the root of the problem are going to fix things, when really it's just making things worse for everyone.
Mm-hmm. There's a couple of rap comments we're going to read. Blue Rap,
hear the comments.
YouTube doesn't give a crap about people. All they want is money, and they'll get by any means. Agreed.
EA. Alphabet, the company, you know, the company that controls Google and all the subsidiary companies, their main profit source is Google AdSense and the search engine itself. And so they don't care, honestly, about their other systems because it doesn't profit them. AdSense does. That's why they embed their trackers and their AdSense and all of these other systems and softwares to data mine their users in all of their products. They don't care about the products. They care about the money they are making from the products through embedding their malicious code.
Well, they also care about, you know, all the contracts that they get, you know, from advertisers.
That too.
At this point, you know, there are some advertisers, you know, pretty big ones, AT&T, Hasbro, etc., that we talked about, that are leaving YouTube because they're not, you know, on board with the content that some people are saying. So YouTube is trying to change their rules and try to block the content. Like, you know, because they want that sweet money, you know, from all these people. It's crazy.
Here's an interesting one. Inuo Kami says, we have become the product.
Oh,
that's the truth.
Well,
that's... Oh, geez.
Wow. You know what? The core of
our information to everybody.
Let me just say one word. Prism.
Mm-hmm. Prism. Prism.
One word.
Prism scheme.
You guys know what Prism is?
Oh, Lord. Like? Yeah. I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah.
And what is Prism?
The pyramid scheme.
No.
One guy gets the benefit of everyone else.
No, it's more like a spiritual type of like a prison, honestly.
No, Prism.
No, Project I know. Prism. I know.
It's,
yes,
it's Prism. A collaboration between Google and Facebook and the CIA
and everyone else,
the U.S. government, and a lot of these other governments. They all collaborate with each other so that they can collect data about everyone.
Well, we already kind
mass
of
mass surveillance.
It does. There's that. That yes, that's precisely it. And all in all, that's exactly what they're trying to do as well. Not just data harvesting, but keeping these secret files and so on. That's why they're so obsessed with it.
People in the comments are talking about, you know, taking our information. And unfortunately, you know, they're not entirely wrong. Of course, these companies are harvesting our information. Every single Google
I'm gonna
search
send
you
a
yeah. Everything, you know, like they want to sell us products. So they want to know what we're doing, what we're interested in. And then these big companies are going to sell us, you know.
Yeah, I see that's the one we're getting at, though. But needless to say, they for additional reading about Prism, the surveillance program at Google, Facebook,
Edward Snowden is the guy who exposed that.
Yes, you can always search this up and for further reading, you can always see what it's about
and also
see why it's a dangerous thing. Yeah.
Yes, watch Alex Jones. He'll tell you the
truth.
I heard that guy was a
just remember when you're watching people. Like Alex Jones types, don't think 100% of things that people say are false. Don't think 100% of things that people say are true. You always got to take everything that somebody says with some percentage of doubt.
I mean, you mean skepticism?
Trust but verify.
Yeah, otherwise, you're going to end up as a schizophrenic who thinks everything's a conspiracy.
Yeah.
Or you're just going to be an NPC, which is on the other end of the spectrum, where they believe 100% of everything. You know, the people who tell them what to think say.
Gay frogs!
That's why I pull from a left and right news source and kind of figure out the happy balance.
But in all sense of though, I think this is pretty much what we've got for you guys. So, in all though, let's kind of wrap this up. How any you guys, any little closing statements, like especially about this, you know, this cycle and so forth? Or just on the week and two?
Oh my goodness. Well, this has been quite a crazy week. I hope you all enjoyed the podcast. I did. And I'll see you next week.
I'm glad I got to join you guys again.
Oh, of course. Anytime for you guys. That's why we do it for you. Bring you in. You leave your blueprint with us. You agree?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry if I get a little intense over the, you know,
good.
Software surveillance stuff.
Yeah.
It's a serious problem.
Understandably so. And as for myself, I know what you're going to say. Well, I mean, I hope you guys enjoyed this one as much as I did. Look forward to next, so hope to see you guys next time in the den. And, of course, most importantly, stay safe and be cautious in these times of,
well,
how would you put it, Jolt?
Well, first of all, I did want to say, I really do want to get a little bit uppity at you just for stealing my line, but hey, that's why I didn't make you the cheap host.
What do you guys think? Do you think we could, like, have an after-call party and put the Hangouts link in group?
Oh, of course. But other than I think, just on that note, yeah, that's becoming a kind of a tradition. But on that sense, though, I think it is time I formally wrapped it up. So, of course, I mean, thanks to you guys. Once again, thanks to all our listeners for tuning in, and I hope you do take something away from it. All our moments are good, our bad, informative, and all sorts. You can always listen to our episodes here on YouTube, but we've also got the audio version on Podbean, iTunes, Google Play Store, Stitcher, and we're always looking for more platforms to add on to our archival and our collection. This is us signing out for the week. Farewell. Yeah. Until next time.
And have a good one.
Bye. Arf, arf, arf.